KJAN, Radio Atlantic.
And at 8 o'clock, it's clear to partly cloudy, 60 degrees in Atlantic. We look for it to be partly cloudy today, the high around 79. Good morning, I'm Rick Hansen with KJAN News, brought to you by ASI, Audiology and Hearing Instruments in Atlantic. Well, Thursday was the last day of June, of course, and it also marked the end of the peak season for tornadoes in Iowa. National Weather Service meteorologist Craig Coggle says the state's only had about a dozen confirmed tornadoes this year, way below the average of 35 by the end of June. Coggle says it's been a relatively quiet year so far.
In general, we haven't seen a lot of stormy activity across the state. We've seen low numbers with hail and wind damage as well. So just not a really active storm season overall for the state.
After a lot of hotter than normal days during June, Coggle predicts something of a cool down to the start off July, along with the maintaining of generally quiet weather year.
We'll still see storms on and off, but nothing real widespread as far as that's concerned, and temperatures certainly look to be at least at normal, and I'm certain that as we head out, we'll have a few periods of warmer than normal.
The National Weather Service survey team has confirmed one tornado impacted parts of Harrison and Pottawatomie counties Wednesday evening. The twister, rated as an EF0 on the Fujita scale, packed peak wind gusts of up to 85 miles per hour. On the ground, it traveled 4.5 miles, damaging crops and trees in an area stretching from around Interstate 680, a little mile more than 7 miles southwest of Persia, and ended slightly over 5.25 miles west of Neola. No structural damage was observed by the storm survey team. And while the peak tornado season is wrapping up, Coggle reminds you that tornadoes can strike any month of the year, and we may still get several.
On average, about another 20, or at least 15 to 20. So it's you know, the end of the peak season, but certainly still a threat of seeing additional through the end of the year.
On Veterans Day last November, there was an outbreak of tornadoes with 10 twisters being reported in Iowa. Police in Creston, assisted by the Iowa State Patrol this morning, arrested 34-year-old Michael Joshua Jones of Creston. Jones was taken into custody just before 6 a.m. for domestic abuse assault, intimidation with a dangerous weapon, and OWI second offense. He was being held in the Union County Jail while awaiting an appearance before the magistrate. And Thursday afternoon, Creston police arrested 46-year-old Ryan Dean Offield of Elston on a Union County warrant for failure to appear in court. Offield was being held without bond in the Union County Jail. Fremont County Sheriff Kevin Aesrup says a report about a fight in progress Thursday night in Hamburg resulted in the arrest of a man on a burglary charge. Responding officers learned the subject had allegedly involved in the incident. 28-year-old Michael McKibben of Hamburg had fled the scene. A short time later, deputies found McKibben hiding in a nearby apartment. He was arrested and charged with burglary. McKibben was being held in the Fremont County Jail on $5,000 bond. A Sioux City man has been ordered to serve 5 years probation for having sex with a 12-year-old girl. 25-year-old Willie Williams pleaded guilty Wednesday in Woodbury County District Court to lascivious acts with a child and failure to appear for an earlier court hearing. As part of a plea agreement, Williams received a 15-year prison sentence, which was suspended and was placed on probation for 5 years. Williams must register as a sex offender and serve lifetime parole. If he were to violate the terms of the special sentence, he could be sent to prison immediately. Prosecutors say Williams had sex with a girl at a house in 2011 when he was 20. Jurors are expected to resume deliberations today in the slaying of a Emmett County man. Closing arguments were delivered Thursday, and Lee Christensen's case was turned over to the jurors. The 19-year-old is charged with first-degree murder, accused of shooting to death 19-year-old Thomas Bortvit on June the 6th of last year at the Christensen farm in the Esterville area. Defense attorneys acknowledged that Christensen killed Bortvit, but argued that it was a killing in the heat of passion over Bortvit's girlfriend, whom Christensen had once dated. Prosecutors say Christensen planned the killing, did it, and then tried to cover up his crime. Elsewhere in the news, the Adair County Sheriff's Office will close at noon on Tuesday, July the 12th through Friday, July the 15th for extensive training in elections, human resources, and budget and finance. The office will reopen at 8 a.m. on Monday, July the 18th. If you should happen to have an emergency during that time frame and you need to talk to the auditor's office, you can call 641-202-1146 and leave a message, and someone will respond at the first available opportunity. County Auditor Mindy Schaefer says she sincerely apologizes for any inconvenience that may cause and thanks you for your patience. Again, the Adair County Auditor's Office will close at noon on Tuesday, July 12th through Friday, July 15th. As the 4th of July holiday approaches, local and national authorities are hoping to convince persons who plan on having a private fireworks display and those who purchase fireworks outside of Iowa, which is illegal, to leave those types of displays to the professionals. Atlantic Fire Chief Mark McNeese said fireworks are illegal to possess and shoot within the Atlantic City limits at all times. He said also that while there haven't been any injuries locally in several years, a house was damaged by a fire caused by fireworks that were actually legal to use.
We have had serious fires due to fireworks here, where house fires, number one, been several years ago, but it was actually caused by one of the legal ones. It was caused by sparklers. All these are very dangerous. It doesn't matter what it is. They can have an adverse effect on the people that have them and on the property.
He says it's important for you to keep in mind that if you do shoot off fireworks and something happens, whether it's in the rural area or a city, you are liable for damages or injuries.
Any of the losses, any of the damages, you could be held responsible and most likely will be.
He said a recent decision by the Cass County Board of Supervisors to allow private fireworks displays outside the city limits may come back to bite them should there be any serious injuries or death.
Supervisors under Iowa code can approve those. I think they're taking a huge risk by allowing them to be shot because that just puts liability, in my mind, on them for okaying it, for somebody to go out and have something that could cause a fire. The only restriction would be if there was a burn ban on, which we do not have right now. But, they're okaying somebody to go out and shoot off fireworks without knowing whether they've ever had any training. Firefighters and the professionals who do it go through pyrotechnics school. There are their procedures to do it as safely as we can. And still, even in that event, accidents happen. I just think supervisors open themselves up, even though they legally can do it.
The state of Iowa has had a law in place regarding the use of fireworks since two disastrous fireworks-related blazes took place in northwest Iowa back in the 1930s. In Spencer, nearly five blocks of the city's main business district were destroyed in 1931 after a boy dropped a lit sparkler in a drugstore fireworks display. 25 buildings were lost and 50 more were damaged. In Remsen, a girl dropped a sparkler on a pile of gasoline-soaked rags in a garage on July 4th of 1936, destroying 20 businesses and leaving 100 people homeless. McNeese said the IFA, or Iowa Firefighters Association, helped to lead the charge of fire and emergency response agencies in defeating another attempt this year to expand Iowa's fireworks law in the legislature. The expanded version would have allowed Roman candles and firecrackers. Current law, a law that is, allows only the use of sparklers, toy snakes, or caps used in cap pistols. McNeese said the IFA is concerned with public safety and the vast majority of serious, life-altering injuries that occur to children. He said the danger is evidenced by a recent incident in Omaha where a man burned his hand and lost at least one finger due to the careless use of fireworks. The National Fire Protection Association says U.S. fire departments responded to an annual average of 18,500 fires caused by fireworks between 2009 and 2013. And according to the Consumer Product Safety Commission, more than half of fireworks injuries each year are due to extremities, that being the hand or finger, legs or arms, and most of the remaining injuries were to parts of the head, including the eye. 35% of people injured by fireworks were under the age of 15, with children between the ages of 5 and 9 requiring the highest level of emergency treatment. So how do you celebrate the holiday safely? Officials say it's very simple. Just attend a public fireworks display put on by trained professionals. And many Iowans will enjoy fireworks over the 4th of July holiday weekend, but for some, hearing the loud booms and seeing the bright lights can bring on a different feeling. Radio Iowa's Pat Curtis reports.
Leo Kahlberg, a veteran who served in Iraq, says he was involved in countless mortar attacks and was hit by an IED. He's been out of the service for 8 years now, but every time he hears the loud noises from fireworks, it brings back terrifying memories.
The first couple of years, I would jump into bushes, I would duck under my table, I would kind of hide myself in the bedroom during the night when most of them were going off.
He told KCRG-TV that this time of year is still very stressful as fireworks are going off almost every night of the week. Kahlberg says he knows he's not the only veteran who struggles with the issue, and he's asking Iowans to simply be considerate of those suffering from PTSD this time of year. I'm Pat Curtis.
That is a check of our news this hour, brought to you by ASI, Audiology and Hearing Instruments, at 601 Poplar in Atlantic. Call 243-5796. I'm Rick Hansen reporting.